glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
I'm reading from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. In God's word that says this, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. That is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, February 12th, 2024. The voice you just heard was Tom Cheshire. He's the CEO, head kahuna, the founder, the oversight person that loves to be involved in men's ministry. He helped found RPM FM, Relevant Practical Ministry for Men. He's helped host many Iron Sharpens Iron men's conferences. In fact, he's going to be hosting three upcoming men's conferences, but two that we're going to talk about, one in Springfield on March 16th, and one in the Champaign area, April 20th. But we have a special guest speaker on the phone lines with us, Chris Harper, who's going to be at the Springfield gathering on March 16th. So I'm going to throw down the gauntlet, men. You can attend both, the March 16th gathering or the April 20th gathering, because there'll be different speakers, different sessions, different ways that God will use it in your life. But Tom, you were excited to have Chris Harper as a part of the Springfield gathering. As way of introduction, why are you inspired to have Tom share with the men?
Chris and I have known each other now for a couple of years, and Better Man, which is the ministry that Chris runs in Dallas, Texas. And Chris, you can correct me. This is how I explain it to people. It's really kind of the latest iteration of what was originally began as Men's Fraternity by Robert Lewis in Little Rock, Arkansas. But again, one of the things, and I'm sure Chris will probably say this, but this is kind of just my spiel, if you will, for Better Man and the original curriculum. They've now developed some additional curriculums, but the original curriculum was brilliant. One, because it was designed to have older men in the church go out into their neighborhoods, their workplaces, their communities, and invite younger men who aren't coming to our churches to join this study. And out of that, they've seen great conversions for these young men, because men are wanting to know what it means to be a godly man. And so Better Man, like I said, is just my take. It's the latest iteration of what Robert Lewis started 20-some years ago in Men's Fraternity and what it means to be a godly man. And Chris, he was our keynote last year at the St. Louis Conference, just killed it, and the men loved him, and we have partnered and love the ministry. And so RPM will do anything they can to get exposure for Better Man, both at the individual church level and at the conference level.
Chris, by way of introduction, fill in a little of some of your credentials and how God has called you to this position as CEO of Better Man, and then talk a little about Better Man. And then the third thing will be, what do you hope gets accomplished during the March 16th gathering here in Springfield? So a little bit of your testimony, what is Better Man, and then what you hope happens on March 16th.
Yeah, brothers, thank you so much for having me on. And Brother Tom, thank you for that summary. It's spot on. At Better Man, you know, we say all the time, you can't become what you can't define. And a lot of men today lack the definition because they didn't grow up with spiritual fathers. 41% of men today do not grow up with physical fathers. And that doesn't include me, who grew up with a physical father in the home, but that father was absent. He spent most of his time drinking beer in the garage. So I had a father in the home that was emotionally and physically and spiritually gone. I was a functional orphan in a lot of ways, and that's where a lot of men are today. Praise be to God, I had a 70-year-old pipe fitter with a sixth-grade education who was a godly man speak into my life and disciple me, which changed my life. So I came to know King Jesus as my Lord and Savior when I was 26 years old. You know, I had this giant void in my life. I didn't know where hope come from. And a friend of mine invited me to church on Wednesday night, and I went to church and went again. And I came to the realization that not only did I hate God, I wanted to be God. And I had rejected God and rebelled against God, my creator. And there was a man named King Jesus that paid the price for my rebellion with his life and with his death. And he beat death in his resurrection. And when I put my faith and hope in him, man, I had hope upon hope. At that point, I wanted to give my life to him, and I wanted to chase after him. So I went into ministry. I've pastored a few churches. led a couple of Christian organizations. And then a little over 2 years ago, Robert Lewis had reached out and basically asked me to step in where he was stepping out of Better Man. And Better Man is the iteration of Men's Fraternity. It's the iteration of Authentic Manhood in the 33 series. In 2018, we reiterated everything, scrubbed the curriculum, scrubbed the design, and we geared everything towards Millennials, Gen Z, and Gen Alpha. And that's who we run hard after, Millennials, Gen Z, Gen Alpha. And as Tom so succinctly said, we do that by finding older, more mature Christians to walk along younger men. Alongside younger men. And old is relative, right? If you're 18, 30 is old.
Yeah. That's right.
And if you're 30, 45 is old. And if you're 75, you're just real old. You got everybody covered.
Yeah.
So what we do is we take more mature saints, and you don't have to be a biblical scholar. You don't have to be a theological giant. You just got to be one step ahead. You got to be willing to look at another man and say, hey, listen, I've messed up five times. Come walk alongside me, and maybe you only mess up four. And we give them a biblically rich, theologically accurate, super practical definition of what it means to be God's man. If I ask 100 men today what it means to be God's man, you'll get 100 different answers. If I ask 100 pastors what does it mean to be a good man, God's man, you'll get 50 different answers, and the other 50 are afraid to answer because they might offend somebody. We believe that God's design for manhood and masculinity is timeless. We're not reinventing it. We're not offering something new. We're simply reclaiming it by taking people back to Scripture, back to His Word, and showing them in His Word God's design for manhood and masculinity.
We opened up the program with 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, and I had asked you beforehand what might be a special verse that you'd love to launch into or talk about. Share a little of the nuggets of this verse that might be applicable to all the men that are listening, and for that matter, women too, because God's word is timeless, it's powerful, it's active, it's sharper than a double-edged sword, so God can use it in all of our listeners today. But what do you like most about 2 Timothy 2:2?
When you think about God, when you look at his word, men and women were created for community. God himself was the first small group. I tell people this all the time. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, co-eternally existing. I mean, it was the first ever small group. And created in God's image, you and I were created for community. When we are not living and working and playing and serving in community, we're actually rejecting our design. No man is an island. We're not built to go through this world alone. And that goes for women, too. Women need community just like men need community. What I love about 2 Timothy 2:2, I think it gives us a clear call for gender-based discipleship, and it gives us a clear call for multi-generational discipleship. In that one verse, you see four generations of discipleship. Paul to Timothy, Timothy to faithful men to others. And I think that's God's design, this gender-based, multi-generational discipleship, men walking with other men, showing and telling about the good news, helping men cultivate and produce the fruit of spirit in their life, living and serving in this world, serving our families, serving our wives well, serving others, loving God, loving others in our community, and then just replicating that. I think when it comes to discipleship, sometimes the church tries to get too cute. We try to overthink it. The reality is you are never going to out-strategize four or five guys sitting around a fire. You're never going to out-strategize six or seven guys sitting around a table doing life together, because that's exactly the way Jesus did it. And what we've had in the church today, and listen, I may sound critical of the church. I'm not. I think critically about the church. I'm a church historian. Most of my educational work is in church history. My doctorate is in spiritual formation and discipleship. So I've dedicated a lot of time to this. And what we've seen in church history, there was a big strategic shift in the 80s when churches moved from educational spaces to communal spaces. And what we did is we created something called life groups. And for all the good that life groups did, there was also some negative. For example, we told all the 20-year-olds to go hang out over here, and we told all the 60-year-olds to go hang out over there. And we thought by putting a bunch of 20-year-olds together, wisdom would just bloom. And it doesn't happen like that. In Scripture, you specifically see wisdom and experience is transferred down through the generations. So So when we went through the church and segregated everybody by life stage, what we basically did was cut off any transfer of wisdom and experience. And we wonder why we have young men. Well, we wonder why we have older men still acting like younger men, why men have a hard time putting away childish things, as Paul said, and start acting and thinking like men. Well, it's largely because most of them haven't been taught how. You know, when you think about the height of men's ministry, most people go to the 90s, the late 90s. Man in the Mirror, Steve Farrar and Point Man, St. Promise Keepers and A Million Man March on Washington. All that stuff was spectacular. But back then, the enemy was passivity. You were talking to a generation of men who knew how to be men, but they weren't. So the message was like, hey, you need to step up, embrace God's design, be the man God's called you to be. Well, today the enemy is not passivity. We've transcended beyond passivity and we are into ignorance. We literally have a generation of men that have no idea what it means to be God's man. They live in what I call a masculinity fog. To put it another way, two generations ago, men were confident in their call. Generation ago, men began to compromise that call, and today men are just confused about the call.
Hey, that's going to preach. I'm sure a pastor just wrote those three things down. That's going to be next Sunday's message. That's excellent.
So, yeah. So we're living in this time of masculinity confusion, and there's a bunch of millennials. There's a bunch of Gen Z guys. There's a bunch of Gen Alpha guys. I'm an old millennial, and there's a bunch of us saying, hey, man, we want to be good men. We want to be God's man. We don't know how. We've never been given a definition. So what Better Man does is equip older, more mature men, and remember, age is relative. It equips them with this definition to take to younger generations. And the definition is super simple. It's super sticky. We did it that way on purpose. We call it the four W's. And it's a real man, God's man, courageously follows God's word, which Adam failed to do. That's why we're in this mess. A real man, God's man, loves, serves, and protects God's woman. Again, Adam failed to do that. A real man excels at the work God has given him. And it's one of my favorite W's, work, because we tear down that sacred secular divide.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be a mega church to have great influence on this world. You don't have to be an ordained minister. A few months ago, the HVAC at my house went out. And when your air conditioner goes out in Texas, it's a big deal.
It's life-threatening.
It's life-threatening. That's right. So my wife called the HVAC guy, and I'm upstairs working. And she said, hey, honey, the HVAC guy's here. Go down and see if he needs any help. So I went outside, and I'm walking around the corner of my house. And the HVAC guy looks up, and he says, hey, you're the Better Man guy. And I said, yeah, man, I'm a guy. You know, I work at Better Man. He's like, yeah, my church is going through Better Man. We watch your videos. And I thought, dude, that's cool, man. Yeah, you know, praise be to the Lord. So I'm helping him pack up his tools, and I'm helping him load up his truck. And he looks at me, and he's like, man, I wish I could be more like you. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, you travel, and you speak, and you write, and you preach. You could tell people about Jesus. I wish I could do more of that. And I said, man, how long have you been an HVAC guy? He said, almost 30 years. I said, how many homes have you been in? He said, probably over 25,000 homes. I said, do you know if you bring Jesus into each one of those homes, you have more influence than most megachurch pastors in this world?
Yep.
And he started to tear up in my driveway, and he said, man, I never thought about it like that. I said, well, bro, you need to start thinking about it like that. Anything we do, if we're doing it unto the name of Jesus, any good work, the Bible says, is a holy work, whether we're HVAC guys, whether we're plumbers, whether we're brain surgeons, whether we're megachurch pastors, it doesn't matter. In God's economy, titles do not matter. It's, are you faithful with the task at hand? So we do a whole curriculum around work, excelling at God's work, the work that God gave you. And then lastly, a real man betters God's world. And he does that through his church, through his community, and through his children. So the four W's, word, woman, work, and world. And here's what we've learned. If men don't know how to play a game, they won't play. They'll just sit on the sidelines. You have to show a man how to win if you want to engage him. Where Better Man has had success is we're teaching men how to win. We take these four W's, we can give them a simple scorecard, and we can say, hey, go play the game of life and win as a man. Courageously follow God's word. Love, serve, and protect God's woman. Excel at the work you do and better God's world. And we're literally watching men get off the sidelines and start playing the game, and it's transformative. It's been spectacular.
Now you see why I want him at the conference.
Yeah, and I'm saying, listening, friend, men and women that are tuned in today's edition of Mark and Friends, you're going to be able to participate by sending your man or men. Come join me on March 16th in Springfield. So, Tom, give us the nuts and bolts, how they can register, what's involved. And then I want to come back to Chris to close out our program, because I wrote down something that I don't know if he coined this phrase, but functional orphan. I think many of our listeners, and I can certainly identify with that. My dad was a workaholic. I didn't see him. My parents were separated for a year and a half, and I didn't even know it.
Sure.
So I think I can really identify with that concept. But also, Chris, we want to know what you anticipate God's going to do on March 16th when you come to Springfield. But Tom, what's the nuts and bolts?
Sure. So you can go to www.rpmfm.org, and there's a registration button on that. Our goal, I think I expressed this the last time I was here a couple weeks ago, is to get groups of men to come from their local church to have that shared experience, to participate in multiple seminars, because we do 8 seminars in the morning and 8 different seminars in the afternoon, so you can't cover them all. We record them and you can take them home with you, but the idea is to come with a group. But if it's a 1 or 2 guys and you just want to come, you can go on our website and register and join us. And so registration's open now. I mean, you could go now and register for any of the 3 conferences. But yeah, the 10-day out is our deadline for Springfield, which will be March 6th.
So rpmfm.org, rpmfm.org. This is an Iron Sharpens Iron men's conference. It's happening in St. Louis in early March, and the 2 that we're focusing on today. But you might say, hey, I'm going to be in St. Louis, or I know men friends in St. Louis, rpmfm.org. But March 16th here in Springfield, where is it going to be located? I know all that's online,
sure,
but somebody wants to think about it and tell their friends.
Yeah, it's the First United Methodist Church on Cokie Mill Road.
And it's a phenomenal, beautiful campus. It's very large church. It can accommodate thousands, but I think you're hoping for 600, 700, 800 men?
We've had 1,000.
Okay, 1,000?
So I'm good with 1,000.
Good with 1,000. So men, you can get your small group at church, your large group, tell the men, bring along the pastor. Allow this to be a shared experience with all the men in the church. So March 16th in Springfield, and then April 20th in Champaign. Our good friend Mark Jordan will host that. He does a phenomenal job. I appreciate him. He's always a part of our Ministry Leaders Luncheon, but that'll be April 20th. Find out more at rpmfm.org. rpmfm.org. Today's program interviewing Chris Harper and Tom Cheshire, who is the CEO of Relevant Practical Ministry for Men, joins us. Chris Harper is the CEO of Better Man, and he's going to be coming to Springfield on March 16th. And so, Chris, I want to give you the closing 3 or 4 minutes, but talk a little more about that functional orphan, because there's listeners that, like me, I've never thought about it like that, but my dad was always gone, never around. Around, never threw the ball to me. He worked. He was the old school. I showed my love because I went to work for many, many hours and brought home money and had very few words of affirmation. But later on, I realized that's how he knew to show love. He was kind of that old school. But talk a little more about functional orphan and then what you hope happens on March 16th when you come to Springfield.
Yeah, it's just the phrase that I've used for some years now to explain. Oftentimes in the church, we talk about widows and orphans, and rightly so. And we should have a heart for widows and orphans, and we should be serving them and caring for them. But the reality is there's more functional widows, and there's more functional orphans than there are actual widows and orphans. Mm. And these are men, young men, these are wives whose spouse, whose husbands, fathers have basically abandoned them at the expense of generating a living or building a career or trying to become successful, or even negatively, maybe they're caught up in addiction. You know, my father was not successful by any worldly standard, but he was a functioning alcoholic. He drank a lot. And I'm not saying anything to dishonor my father. I love my father. He's still alive to this day. I share the gospel with him often, but he was doing what he knew. He was doing largely what his environment and his father showed him. So it's a generational thing, which is why that 2 Timothy 2:2 verse is so important. Generational cursings are just as powerful as generational blessings.
Hmm.
And Paul is telling Timothy, listen, I've taught you something good. I've given you something good. You have tasted and seen the goodness of Jesus. Now, Timothy, go and entrust that message to other faithful men who will then entrust it to others. So if we want to break generational curses, if we want to break generational sins and habits, if we want to be the men that God has called us to be, we've got to take that message, and we've got to get back to gender-based, multi-generational discipleship. Hmm. It needs to be simple. We've got to get back to that ancient path. As a matter of fact, that's what I'll be talking about at the Iron Sharpening Iron event. I'm going to be talking about those ancient paths. And when a man doesn't have a path, he usually goes in one of four directions, and they're not good. But there is this ancient path that we can get back to, this spirit-enabled man. So whether you're a real orphan, an actual orphan, a functional orphan, or maybe you grew up in a great home with a loving father and you want to avoid any pitfalls, man, this conference is for you. Come and listen and learn, and we can really affect change, not just in our homes or our churches, but our cities. And I'll end by saying that I really believe that the Lord is doing something, and he's doing something because of the labor of men like Tom Cheshire. I don't know if you all understand, running after men is one of the most exhausting and frustrating things ever. I tell people all the time, I especially tell pastors, if you're going to win the hearts of men, it's an uphill climb, and you can't bring a downhill effort.
Yeah, I've used the term, I had 50 men go with me to Israel, and I said it was like herding cats.
That's it, man. And it's exhausting. So I think the Lord is using the fruit and the effort of men like Tom Cheshire to really do something in our country. I think the church is waking up and realizing, after decades of running hard after children's ministry and running hard after women's ministry, that if we want real revival, not that those things are bad, but if we want real revival, we got to get to the hearts of men. I was just speaking at the Georgia Baptist Convention gathering 2 months ago. And I said, I remember 10-year-old Chris Harper. I remember every Wednesday night that Baptist school bus would pull up in front of my house, and I'd get on that bus, and it would take me to children's church. But every Wednesday night, I'd go to the back of that bus, and I'd look at the window at my dad sitting in the garage drinking beer. Hmm. I've come to realize 30 years later that we were going after the wrong man the whole time.
Yeah.
Should have been going after that man in the garage.
Amen. And I think, too, you know, you obviously, you and I sing from the same hymnal. You bring so many good points, and just the idea of discipleship, and I think it is the ancient path, but it's also a very lost skill that pastors aren't equipped with in seminary. Most men have never experienced it. So you find that there's just so many men in good churches and that are mature men that never have experienced relational discipleship with another man. Mm. And it's life-changing. I'm telling you, that's what changed my life, was relational discipleship with two other men. Scott Brindley and Jim Talley spoke into my life and changed my trajectory of all things because of the way they did life on life, relational discipleship with me.
Listening friend, March 16th, April 20th, put it on your calendar. March 16th, there's a special Iron Sharpens Iron Men's Conference in Springfield, and also on April 20th in Champaign. Find out more at rpmfm.org. rpmfm.org. I can't be any more emphatic about encouraging you to come, because you will be blessed, and God will use that conference and that small group that you come along with, whether it's your pastor and other men from your church or buddies that you golf with or whoever you associate with. This is a men's conference that will be transformative and used of God in powerful ways. Find out more at rpmfm.org. Well, thank you, Chris, for joining us. Thank you, Tom. And we're going to pray up that God will stir many men's hearts to come out on March 16th to Springfield or April 20th to Champaign for this Iron Sharpens Iron Men's Conference. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Chris Harper, and Tom Cheshire with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.